Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
Each week, we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 59 is being brought to you once again by Georgia Veterinary Associates. We still don't have a sponsor. A family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So I just put in my notes, the big 6-0 is coming up next week.
Yeah, but why is that big?
I don't know.
Just because it's 50, a nice
55,
round number.
60, yeah. People talk about the big 6-0. So I think it's going to be a positive thing for us.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so we're once again broadcasting from Studio B in beautiful Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Still dealing with COVID-19.
More than ever.
We talked before we started the podcast, and you're like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm like, I don't either. I'm sick of talking about it, but we got to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really else much going on in the industry. There's not much else going on in the state, in the world. So, yeah, let's talk about it. So, speaking of the state, right? So, our governor, Brian Kemp, has elected to open the state a little bit.
Right, in phases.
In phases.
Not necessarily relative to the government phases that Dr. Fauci, they've talked about phase mm-hmm. one, and now we're going to go to phase two, phase three. He is doing it in phases, but not technically that specific, I guess.
Yeah, so basically on Friday, last Friday, so a few days ago, he allowed salons, both hair and nail salons, to open. He allowed bowling alleys,
tattoo parlors,
and massage therapy facilities to open. And then
massage parlors.
Come Monday, which is tomorrow,
yep.
He is going to allow movie theaters and restaurants to open.
As long as they practice the recommended guidelines regarding social distancing, correct?
Yeah. I mean,
and I don't know
same
who's policing
goes,
it, but.
Yeah, same goes for these other things. Oh, and gyms. I forgot on gyms on Friday.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm hopeful.
I think bowling alleys, Dr. Wanchick corrected us when we were talking on Friday, bowling alleys don't open until Monday.
Okay. But nonetheless, I mean, I certainly think that with those things open, it could be seen both ways, right? Like, the light is finally shining through at the end of the tunnel, and we're starting to see some things opening, or we're about to see a very dark overcast come above us here.
Okay. So, the statistics are, as of today, there are just slightly over 900 deaths in Georgia. I think there were three or four from yesterday until today.
Okay.
Like the overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And then over 23,000 reported cases that have tested positive.
Still don't know. I feel like I keep asking on a
yep.
daily. This is just like 23,000 from the moment this started weeks ago. So these are people that have either died or recovered that are still in this
up
number.
To 5 or 6 weeks ago, only the people tested, and there's a lot of variability there. I think it's going to be super interesting, probably years down the road, to really know what the statistics are regarding this disease. Because
sure.
My take is there are 12 to 13 million people in Georgia, and we've had 900 deaths. Or maybe, actually, I could be wrong on that number. It could be slightly over 1,000.
Deaths at this point.
But okay. Out of 13 million people,
yeah,
that's not a big number. Now, it's a death. I get it. But I really, really think if you really dig deep into the data, most of the people dying are they have another comorbidity. They have another
sure.
problem going on, diabetes, obesity, severe asthma, pulmonary hypertension, pulmonary tumors, cancer, things like that. And so, yes, when they get infected with coronavirus, it really is upsetting their world, and some of them are passing. So I think that's a big, big issue, because still, the people that are over 65 or have this comorbidity, that they're the majority of people dying from coronavirus. So I personally hope that the relatively healthy population out amongst us a lot of us have already been exposed, or we're going to get exposed, and our immune system is not going to overreact and or we're going to be fine. We're going to get through this. And
wasn't it you that was talking about how you were reading an article? And we've always kind of thought that coronavirus or some sort of thread had maybe come through earlier, but now there's actual like studies being done on it.
Yeah,
Wasn't that you mentioning? Georgia,
it was found back in early February. They went back and looked at necropsy cases, autopsies rather. Necropsy for pets, autopsies for people.
Mm-hmm.
But they have proven a coronavirus positive person early in February. And so we really started this kind of mid-March.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really came to head. And actually, I don't remember if it's California or New York, but other states are finding as they're tracing it back that, it was here before we knew it.
Sure.
Governor Kemp is really getting criticized, and he's either going to look like a brilliant person or an idiot, depending on what happens. But I do not have a problem with what he is suggesting that we do. He's asking Georgians to be smart and use your head, use your common sense, keep your social distance, but let's try to reopen the state and get the economy back rolling. Because quite honestly, in our area, Publix and Kroger are the two main grocery stores. Mm-hmm. Ingles is the third. People have been going there for the last 6 weeks. We practice social distancing.
Right.
Home Depot, Lowe's, same thing.
Right.
Target, Walmart. Walmart, not so much, I'm going to say. Kind of scary to go to Walmart these days. But Target, people are understanding.
There's no one within the store making sure that you're doing right. What you should be doing.
But, you know, follow your PPE. Sam's, Costco. Same thing. There are essential businesses that are providing us with goods and services, and it makes sense not to go to a sporting event with 800,000 people to where two or three people may have come back from Europe or fill in the blank and may have gotten exposed, and now they're kind of seeding that whole populace. I do think and hope that most people are aware. I know not everybody's following the news like we are and watching the news conferences. By the way, President Trump, definitely
not a doctor.
Yeah, not with what he asked about. Hey, can you inject some of these disinfectants? But
to his credit, he didn't say inject into people.
Yeah, he claims he was being sarcastic, but I think he just doesn't. You know what you know, right? And he was just like, oh, well, if it can kill it on the surface, why can't we use it? But anyway, I heard this afternoon that he did not have a press conference yesterday. And the reason was that the press was really being mean and asking unnecessary questions, and it was not worth his time. So he's kind of throwing a fit there.
But to his point, though, a lot of the questions, like when I was watching those task force briefings, like on they were happening every day, the same news people are present and they're asking the same question in a different way that has already been answered.
Right.
So I think they're looking for an answer that they can either spin or that fits their story or whatever. So, you know, the news has a job to do. The president has a job to do. We all are kind of doing the best we can here. I was going to mention, so Lance is really big on Twitter. I don't really tweet or twit that
tweet.
Much.
Yeah, it's called tweeting.
Twitter that much. But he did say that there was this very, I guess, viral or popular tweet that someone in Georgia had posted really lambasting Governor Kemp in regards to the fact that he's opening, but now he's also stripping some of these companies from their abilities and then the people from their unemployment.
Yeah,
so
that's wrong. The unemployment aspect of that is wrong. If you have a job, you need to go back to your job. Thank you, federal government, for subsidizing us. But I don't buy that argument like, oh my gosh. You know, whether you open up due to necessity or ability, or whether you open up due to the PPP program that most people are aware of, as an employee, you can't get upset with your employer for bringing you back to work. We've talked about this internally.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you're right. Governor Kemp is kind of like, he is in the same position as President Trump. No win.
Yeah.
Right?
And you're not going to satisfy everybody.
Yeah, you cannot satisfy everybody. So I think both of them are doing a great job. Stacey Abrams was on CNN this morning talking to Jake Tapper, and she just like lit both of them up. Like Donald Trump is, I don't think he's done anything good. She just, you know, just went with it. Oh, way far to the left. Yeah. Same thing, Governor Kemp. Hey, he's doing the wrong thing. Keisha Lance Bottoms, who is the mayor of Atlanta, similar thought process, but a little more tact, saying, I sure hope Governor Kemp is right. I don't necessarily agree with him, but I really hope he's right for the people of Atlanta. And so I can appreciate her and that statement. Stacey Abrams totally can't appreciate her.
Yeah.
So completely political. So anyway, woo, rant. So I need to insert here. I hope sister-in-law Melanie was able to finally download the last podcast. She had trouble.
Okay.
She shared with me a couple of days ago.
So remember, it's on
so,
our website.
Yeah, Melanie out in Ropesville, Texas. If she can get it, anybody can get it.
That's right.
So hopefully you got the last episode and are listening to this episode. Anyway, shout out to you. So
with Georgia being quote-unquote open, right?
Well, we're getting there. Slowly. We're getting there, yeah.
Want everyone to know that we have elected to continue to do what we have been doing over the last couple of weeks, and that is closing our doors to the public, escorting and doing just curbside care pretty strictly, not really allowing delivery people, clients, family, friends, that kind of thing into the building, strictly just those people that work here.
Yeah. Yeah, we feel like that's the right thing to do. We've been discussing not only at our hospital here at Russell Ridge, but amongst the leaders of the other hospitals, what is it going to look like when we transition back to quote-unquote normal? And it's not going to be normal, but we're going to have to kind of figure that out. But we feel like that's the right thing to do. We're providing pretty good communications and value to our clients.
Mm-hmm.
And really focusing on taking care of the pets. So, yeah, I'm going to continue curbside. My prediction is at least for another 3, if not 4 weeks.
Okay, yeah.
And then we'll kind of see what it looks like after that. My hopes are that if Georgia is open as we are now in 3 weeks and everybody's practicing the social distancing and following those guidelines, that we just continue to move forward. So I think there's a really good chance that we can do that.
Yeah, I mean, even so, like, if we were to open the doors, I still think we would consider to be somewhat strict, you know, like, one client in and one client on virtual.
Well, hopefully people that have been in our, or that are in our area for the last 4 to 5 weeks, it is now, hopefully they have not traveled out of the country or out of state. Hopefully they've not exposed themselves to people who may have been exposed to coronavirus.
Yeah, but and, I mean, long ago, 4 weeks ago, we decided that it was community spread, not, you don't have to necessarily go out of the country.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I do think everything that's been done based off the federal guidelines and recommendations is really going to help us. So,
sure.
Cases we're seeing, I didn't really have anything super interesting, although I did, I thought, and I talked to Teddy's mom this morning, Teddy's little 8-year-old Pomeranian that we've diagnosed with pleuritis, which is inflammation of the chest cavity and the outer covering of the lungs, if you will. That's super rare. This is the only case of pleuritis I've ever diagnosed. And she shared with me like 4 days ago that her father, who lives with her, has had some respiratory symptoms for quite a while, and she was literally, when we were talking, taking him to get a coronavirus test.
Okay.
And so I called her today and said, here's what the lab samples came back and the path review. It looks like it's pleuritis. And she said, oh, I just want to share that my dad did test negative. We still don't know what's going on with him, but he's negative. I said, well, that's good to know, because otherwise I was going to really recommend that we test Teddy for coronavirus, because it's so weird and so atypical that I want to see, you know, does he truly have it or not. So that's a great segue into hopefully a brief discussion about the two cats that tested positive previously, the big cats who have tested positive. Currently, the recommendation from everybody, I'm going to say who is somebody, which is AVMA, AHA, CDC, who am I missing? Big governing
the World Health Organization.
We're not recommending that you test every pet that shows a sign that might be similar to coronavirus in people.
So if you go back, there is a test for pets now.
Yes.
Which I guess we didn't really announce, but one of our lab companies...
I think we talked about it last week.
Did we? Well, IDEX, maybe, because we didn't want people to freak out about it. So IDEX did come out with a test, but as you said, it is not a test for every pet. So, and it's not even a test that you should do if there's a pet in a household with a person with coronavirus. But everyone is suggesting that if there is a sick person in your house, then your pet needs to be quarantined just like human beings would.
My thoughts are, I could be totally wrong, but we have not had a pet show signs of coronavirus similar to people, nor pass from coronavirus. And so they very well may get exposed the same way they get exposed to staph and strep and flu and whatnot. But we don't. We have not had a documented case that they've gotten sick, per se, and or died from coronavirus.
Well, they do have symptoms, and so I would say that they're sick.
So we've talked. We talked maybe 15 to 20 episodes ago when this all started about coronavirus in animals and how the tests are worthless because most animals are exposed to a coronavirus, and so the tests that are being run show up positive. Come up positive
historically, but this one is not. This one is a SARS-CoV-2.
It's a PCR. I know. So, but the pets are not. At least, so maybe the pets are like most of the general population and people that they're symptomatic, but they're not dying.
Yes. So, as far as I know, no pet or large cat has passed from this. But like the cats, the big cats at the zoo, they were symptomatic. There were
two
six
out
of them.
Six were. Yeah.
Then these two other cats, I think they were symptomatic. One lived in a house with a person who was coronavirus positive, and the other one did not, but was kind of outdoors. So they're thinking that potentially he was exposed outside the home somehow.
Do you know what PCR stands for?
No.
Polymerase chain reaction.
I was going to say protein chain.
And it became famous as a test when? During what
AIDS.
Big newsworthy event?
AIDS?
O.J. Simpson trial.
Oh. Random.
Yeah. So, we are still seeing a lot of new puppies coming in, but we're also seeing puppies coming back for booster appointments.
Which is super important, which is definitely considered essential.
Very important, yes.
Both for the
don't
new
hesitate.
Puppies.
My new hashtag is hashtag don't hesitate. Vaccinate.
Yes.
People and animals.
But it's super important for young, naive puppies that haven't had any vaccines to get their initial set, right, in a timely manner. And then it's equally, if not more important, for them to continue their series until they're completely, what do you call it, immune? They've built an immune response,
yeah,
I guess is what you would
they're
say.
They're completely protective, immunoprotected.
Immunized is really
so not the word of the week, but anamnestic. This is one of those other words I've had a hard time saying. You get an anamnestic response, which means that when you how do I explain this? When you vaccinate a puppy, you get maybe say 7% immunity. You give them the second vaccine, you bump up to 30%. You give the third vaccine, you bump up to 89%. And then the fourth is over 100%. So it builds upon itself, maybe you're looking it up, aren't you?
No, I was just...
Logarithmically. Is that a word?
Like a logarithm?
But every time you booster these vaccines during a certain time period, which is between 6 weeks and 20 weeks, actually, you just get this really, this better than the last response. So
anamnestic.
and amnestic.
And amnestic response.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
again, vaccines are important for puppies, but it's definitely important to continue with a vaccine series, even for adult dogs, which is why we continually vaccinate them. Yeah,
that's why we're seeing wellness appointments, because we think they're very, very important.
Right.
The case that came to mind along those lines was I saw a St. Bernard puppy.
Oh, he's cute.
I don't know his name. I wish I knew his name. Jack?
I think so.
So he came in as a 6 to 8 week old puppy.
He's a little bitty thing.
Probably weighed like 16 pounds, 17 pounds. I saw him a couple of days ago and he was like 50 pounds 3 weeks later.
Yeah, he's huge.
It was ridiculous. I didn't have that much trouble picking him up, if I'm being honest, but he was big.
Yeah, he was a really big dog.
He's super handsome, super well socialized. We were going to talk about, I think we're going to go long here, but one of the AVMA Smart Brief news articles was during the pandemic, what are your pets acting like, looking like, what do they want, and then what's going to happen afterwards. And we tried to come up with a series of puppy training classes. We've simply run out of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not something that we do on a routine basis. We have kind of the
resources, the material, if you will.
But it's truly just the time putting it together. I mean, most of our technicians and doctors are working as technicians and doctors, and so
we're as busy as we've ever been.
Yeah.
So.
But it is important, as you said, like, how are your pets going to adapt to pandemic life, right? That was the article. So I've told you this, that I fear this from the beginning, that these people that are getting puppies and kittens right now, the pets know no different than them always being home. Which I guess would be the same kind of thing, someone getting a pet in the summertime. The only difference is, like, normal summertime, their pet would be going to puppy training classes or going for, you know, like, kindergarten meets or something like that, you know, like neighborhood kids coming over, that kind of stuff. I fear that a lot of the puppies that people are getting now are not going to be very well socialized, and they're going to develop things like separation anxiety.
Right.
I wish I knew a way to help other than saying that I could put together puppy training classes. But,
yeah, I think we probably missed the boat because it started 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
All
of our doctors are talking to these new puppy owners about it. I just wish we had more resources for them. You know what? Like, it's really important. We want you to do this. Here's this, you know, 6 episodes of puppy training that you can watch on YouTube.
That's something we need to do moving forward, not just during this time. The most important time during a pup's life for socializing, it starts around 8 weeks of age,
mm-hmm.
8 to 9 weeks of age. And so pups that are bought or adopted or acquired at 6 weeks of age, they're fine. Sometimes people who are breeding...
Well, that's not necessarily true. They're not fine if they weren't socialized beforehand.
Okay, you're right. So where I was going is, if a breeder wants to keep a dog until it's 12 weeks of age, that's a problem.
For sure.
Because the socialization starts way, way earlier. I think there's going to be a lot of work to be done by pet parents and behaviorists and veterinarians moving forward out of this, and hopefully it will bring to light the fact that we should have been doing this all along.
Well, one thing I will say is that maybe this is a tangent of what you were talking about, but seeing people get new pets, and this is super cheesy, and I've always said this, like, one of my biggest, strongest, like, passions or the thing I love most about being a technician is really to see new people or pets in happy homes, right? So, like, new pets in homes and the joy and excitement that pet brings that family, like, that is truly, like, nothing else compares, right? And I don't know where I'm going now that I'm, like, about to get all emotional.
Are you gonna start crying or what? Good gosh.
But that bond and, you know, the happiness that pets can bring people. But what I was going to say is I think that this is truly a pivotal point in veterinary medicine. If it was ever questionable before, if pets were part of our family, it is no longer a question.
They're going to be so humanized coming out of this.
It is no longer a question.
And unfortunately, probably more than 90% of those that are humanized is going to be bad all around for the pet and the pet parent and the veterinarian and the technician and everybody has to deal with them.
Well, you don't know that, right? Like, we've talked about, like, maybe these people that are working from home will continue to be able to work from home, you know, 50, 80, 90% of the time rather than going in. It's hopeful.
I don't want to be pessimistic, but we have a dog. So we have a upstairs and downstairs here at Russell Ridge, a dog downstairs in treatment who fractured his elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And I repaired that maybe 5-6 days ago. The dog, I believe, is around 12, 13, 14 weeks of age.
He's 5 months.
Completely unsocialized.
Very much, but he's attached to his one person. He attaches to one person at a time.
He's attached to two technicians in our hospital, mm-hmm. everybody else. Whenever you just look at him, speak to him, starts growling, gets super defensive.
Right.
And so I feel sorry for him. Same. You know, how do we make him better? And it's educating the client via educating the dog via educating the client.
Absolutely.
So, again, they only know what they know.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with you. Socialization is very, very important, both with other pets, which is why we see dog aggression, right? And then obviously with other human beings.
So look at other stories you want to talk about. I was going to go ahead and inject the word of the week.
Go for it. I want to hear it.
So I think it's a word by itself, but definitely... it's a word mixed with other prefixes and suffixes, and you're looking it up right now. I'm going to shut your laptop.
Well, because I don't know.
The Latin root word, literally, is corona, C-O-R-O-N-A. What does corona mean?
So the Latin root word's definition is corona, or the word is corona?
The
like
word.
You're asking, what does corona
so
mean?
So what does corona mean, which is a Latin root word?
Beer?
No.
Corona.
Coronation.
I don't know what coronation is. I'm going to say something with GI because those are like the most of the...
Coronavirus.
Coronavirus. I don't know.
So it actually...
You can't take my phone.
Okay, let's let her look it up.
No. It's going to take forever. You tell me.
What is worn on the head?
A hat?
If you are playing checkers and you get all crown. The way to the crown.
Google is amazing.
Yeah. So, corona means crown. So, think about all the images of the coronavirus that you've seen. It's a ball with these little spicules coming out with these little sucker things on it that are red.
Yeah. Same thing with like Corona Light. I mean, definitely, I never
You're
thought
about
it.
The beer?
Yeah, the beer, or I guess Light or Corona, but they have their logo has like a crown coming off the C.
Yeah. 3 or 4, right?
Yeah, with little prongs on it. So, interesting. So, why would that be a medical term?
Well, it's just the name for the virus, and I'm assuming it's because of the way all the spicules and things come off of most coronaviruses, the image that we're all seeing.
Yeah. That makes sense, I guess.
So, yeah. Latin root, corona, means crown.
So the crown virus.
The crown virus. Coronation, what is that? Is that when somebody, when a king or queen is crowned?
Gets crowned.
Must
I
be.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that would make sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how this whole Latin Greek thing works.
You're so proud of yourself for thinking about this one, aren't you?
You take the root word, you take the prefix, you take the suffix, it all makes sense. And that's what basically medical terminology is that.
Oh, for sure.
So,
yeah.
I don't think there's any other AVMA. AVMA advises against routine SARS-CoV-2 tests. We talked about that. Telehealth, we beat to death the past 4 to 6 weeks. And, lack of visitors and revenue weighs on zoos.
Well, why are the zoos open anyways? I didn't think they were. So
I don't know, but I think they're like every other, not every other, like many other businesses super severely affected by this. Tourism. Can you imagine what the streets of Rome look like, or Tuscany, the visitation there, the airline still.
I bet that the locals love it.
Probably. Well, minus, if they're not dependent on tourism.
Minus the finances that come from tourism. But yeah. It's kind of like going to downtown Atlanta, which granted right now the streets in Atlanta are still busy. 85 so, is still packed.
Huge tick up in, yes, traffic, human traffic, not...
Not human trafficking,
but human like traffic and people driving. And people in our area whenever Governor Kemp announced the whole reopening. So,
well, you say that, but it was busy before. So Lance would drive to Stockbridge, and he would say that he would sit in traffic for 30 minutes, which is nowhere near what it typically is, leaving at 8 in the morning. But it's still more than probably what I would have guessed it to be.
Yeah.
You've seen like the drones in certain cities where there's like one car on the interstate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's Atlanta. That yeah. never was Atlanta.
No, never was, never will be. So.
So one more quick thing about other countries. So I read on CNN that people in Spain are really kind of being forbidden to leave their homes unless they need to walk their pet. So They arrested a guy walking his fish. He like literally had a
walking fish. His fish.
He had a fish bowl and he was walking his fish and they arrested him.
Well, we talked about what, 3 or 5 weeks ago, one of our employees, Morgan, got pulled over when all this kind of went down and had to somehow prove where she was going out traveling. So that was
super strict
ridiculous,
here.
Ridiculous, I think, actually. Yeah. But
it's not super strict here. Well, granted, I think she was living, like, she lives in, like, the Statham area, and I do know that they had a curfew in, like, Athens area, that kind of stuff. But
that's totally kind of gone away, so.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting that people Spain, I mean, if they're really surely stuck in their house, and, like, the only way to get out is to walk an animal, and you can't borrow your neighbor's dog.
Yeah. Walk your fish.
Walk your fish.
We talked about take your cat
out on a leash.
Yeah. At the park, so. Yeah.
So.
All right.
Interesting.
Cool.
Well, hopefully we'll have more exciting news and coronavirus will have at least lightened up and we'll have something else to talk about. That would be great, right?
Yeah.
Talk about our summer vacation plans.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. Don't forget, under the resources tab on our website, you can also listen to this podcast, or please subscribe to anywhere you're getting this podcast from. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
#GVA strong. Bye, guys.